Roger, I was just kidding. The scripture today is from James, and it's a really, really interesting set of scriptures because he's dealing with a bunch of churches that really don't have anything in common with ours, but it's hard to believe some churches do struggle occasionally. I'm going to be reading from Peterson, and I want to read just a brief part of the introduction that Peterson has for this section of James. Peterson writes, "When Christians, believers gather in church, everything that can go wrong, sooner or later, does go wrong. So Christian churches are, as a rule, are not a model communities of good behavior. There are places where human behavior is brought out into the open and dealt with. These passages show a pastor skillfully going about his work, confronting, diagnosing, and dealing with misbelief and misbehavior. Much as our leader does when he asks me his favorite question, what does what you're doing have to do with developing the kingdom of God?" The scripture is James 5, 7 through 10. "Meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the master's arrival." You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its very slow work. "Be patient like that. Stay steady and strong. The master could arrive at any time. Friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint can be lodged against you, you know. The judge is standing just around the corner. Take the old prophets as your mentor."
I thank my brother in Christ for sharing that word of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Please join with me in prayer. We are grateful, God, for your word that is alive, not simply ink on paper, but vibrantly speaking to us. Keep us humble enough to be able to hear what it speaks into our lives. Word of truth, word of challenge, word most of all, of grace. We thank you. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I'm using an iPad up here. And I wanted to assure all of you that during times of worship where I am not up here and speaking, I am not checking out scores. I'm not logged on to ESPN. Well, maybe a little bit during the offering. But every once in a while, whenever I'm punching to different screens, something comes up that reminds me, this is a preachable moment, Neil. And it reminded me just this morning as I was punching around and accidentally I dropped my schedule for today and it came down. And I looked at it and I was doing one of the things, I'm in church, I'm supposed to be in church every Sunday, so check that one off. And then there was another celebration, Roger and Candy's wedding. Yeah! And then I kept looking down the list, and it just reminded me of the things that we put on our list that sometimes are really real downers. Move furniture out of the nursery. Exciting jobs, necessary, but we start filling our lives up with things like that, don't we? Things that maybe necessarily don't build the kingdom of God. I guess you could defend that and say it might in the long run. The kids are going to have a new floor to go ahead and play and spill stuff on. But nonetheless, these things that we kind of put on our schedule and put on our list, and then whenever that list doesn't have enough check marks on it, we start getting frustrated. We start getting impatient. I don't know if you've ever dealt with somebody who was impatient in your life. At one point in my life, believe it or not, even your dear brother in Christ, your pastor, could be a little bit touchy. A edgy. You know how my head turns red whenever I get embarrassed? It would turn red for other reasons. Steam was coming off of it. And I had this particular little game that I would have my wife Judy endure along with me. And that's why I like that phrase in your vows, sweetheart, because she's still my sweetheart, even as she's put up with so much stuff from me. Amen. And there was this challenge that we would kind of go through, that we would be with a cart in line, and I would start getting frustrated at the person in front of me and kind of getting agitated, and I'd keep looking at other lines, and she knew what was coming. She knew what was coming. What comes next? I'd go over into another lane. What lane started moving? That one that we were just in. And I would start getting steamed, frustrated. I'd be like agitated and just forget about everything else. Forget about my faith. Hand over my calling to God and say, God, I'm not a preacher right now in this lane. Let me tell you that right now. So I have a real neat way to release tension whenever I'm in lane right now. I just gradually keep bumping the person in front of me until... I don't do that. Don't go out and say, guess what the pastor does? Or people in front of me get nervous. Uh-oh, I'm getting out of the way. Something like the Red Sea just wide open. What does it say right at the beginning? Be patient. Whoops. Be patient. And what else does it say in this translation? Therefore, beloved. Be patient, therefore, beloved. Can you imagine those two things going together? Wow. We know here in this faith community that we can use the term beloved instead of other terminology when somebody cuts us off in traffic. When you're tempted to something else is a rope ready to come out, or you're about ready to tell them that they're number one or something like that, and you, instead of letting that come out, you can say, beloved, and you can say it in whatever way you want. Be patient, therefore, beloved. And not just for a little bit, not just for the next few moments, until the coming of the Lord. Really? I thought this Christianity thing was easy. I mean, I thought everything was going to be rosy and everything was going to be nice and happy and peaceful. What? It takes some work. The early church, many, I should say in the early church, not everybody, but many in the early church felt that Jesus was going to be coming back in their lifetime. They would be seeing him. Paul, in much of the New Testament, the author of many of the letters, had that sense as well. We can kind of garner that. In this letter to the early church, we sense that again, except that it says until the coming of the Lord. It doesn't say really when Jesus is going to be coming again. It just says we're called to be patient, beloved, until the coming of the Lord, until Jesus comes back. Being patient is not necessarily something that we do well all the time. I've confessed to all of you, myself, about what I do. But sometimes also in the church, we don't necessarily like to wait or want to wait. That's why I'm thankful for the church calendar, for the church year, because it is about God's time. And even if we don't want to be in God's time, we need to. Kind of forced into being in God's time. We have three candles lit. We have still one more candle, one more Sunday in Advent before Christmas. The Christ candle is lit. This is a process, you see? This is kind of a journey that we are all on, and we can enjoy it. We can enjoy it. Rather than just trying to race through it, getting to Christmas, opening up the presents, putting the decorations away, and getting ready. What did my young friend say? He can hardly wait for Easter. He was already thinking about that. In the kids' time, did you hear that? He was ready for Easter. Wow. I get confused enough that it's the third Sunday of Advent. The pink candle is lit because it is a Sunday in which oftentimes the scripture passage isn't today in our service. Oftentimes the scripture passage is the Magnificat, or that song that Mary sang whenever she realized what was going on in her life. Whenever she realized that she was carrying God's Son, the Savior of the world. What was she thinking completely? I don't know, but we know from those words that this was a powerful, impressive young woman. In that time, the darkness of that era, in her age, considering all that she was facing, for Mary to sing that song of joy as probably a 13-year-old, for Mary to sing out those words of praise to God for what God had done in her life, with the challenges that she was still facing, with the difficult path that she had, for her to sing out, that, my friends, is a powerful witness today. That's also why today, on this Sunday, we light a candle celebrating her witness of faith. So being patient, for us to be patient, for us to take a little more time, for us to take a deep breath, maybe give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Don't count. Now, be clear, this is for your own safety. Don't count on somebody letting you cross the road at Fry's. I just wanted to let you know that, okay? If you're on foot. If you have a bigger vehicle than them, it might happen, but don't even count on that either. But for us, it's on us to kind of take some time. It's on us to kind of take a deep breath and pause and think, how is God at work in my life? How is God speaking into my life? I think that's what this letter, this section of this letter is all about. And it's very appropriate for the Advent journey that we're on. Two questions that we can consider. What do you really want? What do you really want? And second, what will make a difference in your life this Christmas? I like that question. What will make a difference in your life this very Christmas? You see, our goal come Christmas Day is to be different as a result of our spiritual preparation during our Advent journey. Our goal Christmas Day is actually to be different as a result of the journey that we've been on. The prayer that we've engaged in, the Bible reading, the worship, the fellowship, the journey that we're on together. We are called to be different on Christmas Day. Not simply to say, "Phew, I'm glad that's over with." Sometimes, regretfully, that's the response. I understand. God is at work in your life. That's a reality of Scripture. That's a reality of daily living, of looking around, of paying attention. How is that changing you? How is that challenging you? Come Christmas Day, certainly we have all the candles lit. But how has God spoken into our life? Today, this Sunday, is also a day of rejoicing. Thinking back to that song that Mary sang, thinking back to these words also of Scripture. You notice, whenever people are encouraged to be patient, the author uses the word beloved. Later on, whenever he says, "Do not grumble against one another," how does he address the person, the people? Beloved. If you have to say something difficult to someone, do you say, "Hey, knucklehead"? Or do you say, sweetheart. They know what's coming anyways, but still, you at least try it and give it a shot, right? Beloved, don't do these things. Beloved, don't grumble. Beloved, don't be impatient. Beloved, God is at work in your journey. You know, this past week was the last week for our preschool before their Christmas break. And by the time Friday rolled around, all of our teachers, to a person, were uttering this same prayer. Thank God it's Friday! Amen? We have one of our teachers in the back. She was just praising me right there and giving me a high five. Thank God it's Friday. Saying it reverently, of course. But the kids were so excited and just kind of bouncing off the wall, especially those last couple of days. Anybody been a teacher here? Okay. Kids? Little kids? You know what it is. And like the concentration, forget it. Trying to get anything accomplished, just try to contain them and then just kind of shoot them all, sugared up and all, to go home, leave. On your way and Merry Christmas. We're like that. We kind of get bouncing around with our own plans. And yet, what does God want us to do? What does God want us to be about? I love decorations. I love lights. I love cookies. I love all of those things that we think about at this time of year. But is this season about that? Should that be the priority? No, it really shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Does it add to it? Certainly, no question about it. I love it. But that's something that if it's keeping you from experiencing God's grace, if it's keeping you so busy that you're getting just frustrated, that you're grumbling, you're losing your patience, then I think you need to check yourself and step back and say, why am I grumbling? Why am I losing my patience? What am I missing? Generally, the answer is God. Pastor Derek Maul understands the value of decorating with his family. He just said decorating isn't a priority, but you can make it more meaningful. Hear these words that he writes. Each ornament on our tree represents something unique. Anybody have a tree like that? The bumblebee angel the children made, the stained glass bell lovingly crafted by an old friend, the treasured corn husk seraph we found in Appalachia the week we discovered we were expecting our first child, the doll Rebecca made, brought back from Haiti, that gently reminds us Christ came for everyone. For us, as we wait, as we seek to humble ourselves, as we seek to be humble in our journey, and as we seek to grow in our understanding of how God manifests God's self right here, right now, we step back and seek to be in God's timing through all of this. Christmas was always my favorite time of the year, a young woman states. She particularly enjoyed the family get-togethers and the caroling. However, her celebration of Christmas was changed over the years. Over a short period of time, both her parents died. She lost contact with her three siblings, and her only son moved across the country. Christmas get-togethers ceased, she explained. Caroling was just another part of a church service. Christmas became a lonely season for her. My discomfort forced me to realize that I had allowed my family's traditions to take the focus away from Christ. Once I put Christ back in the center, Christmas again became my favorite time of the year. Not because of outworn pleasures, but because of God's gift on the very first Christmas. Noelle realized that she is part of a much larger family, God's family. We've made our list and we've checked them twice. We know exactly what we want. God knows what we want and what we need even better. If we can be open to that, then we can understand the difference between what we want and what we really need. This is another prayer, another six-word prayer that we can offer as we seek to be, more open to God's timing in our journey, as we seek to be less grumbling, less impatient, more open to seeing God's presence all around us. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Say that along with me. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts. Join with me in a time of prayer as we open to hearing God speak into our lives.